You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 4th of March, 2025. The Australian share market fell today by 0.6%. We'll have the details with James Whelan from Barclay Pearce in a few moments. But first, the new RBA Monetary Policy Board will meet for the first time ever at the end of this month to discuss interest rates. It follows changes which will see the previous board split into two, including a governance board looking after the day-to-day operations of the bank. But the Monetary Policy Board, the new one, will be chaired by Governor Michelle Bullock, who led the previous meeting, where it cut interest rates for the first time in more than 4 years. The minutes of that board meeting were released today, however, and it showed that members expressed caution about the prospect of further policy easing. So for more, I spoke with Alex Joiner from IFM Investors. He's the chief economist there. Alex, the RBA board minutes released today. What does it say about the potential for further rate cuts and why?
It was really a repeat of the hawkish cut narrative that the RBA presented in its initial press release. And what was evident from the minutes was that the RBA was not committing to any further easing when it eased policy in February. And what it's really become is data dependent. And to us, that means it needs to see more inflation data to convince it that inflation is going to stay within its target band for a sustained period of time before it wants to ease again. And it doesn't get that data before its April meeting.
What are the risks to inflation actually falling into that comfortable area that it wants to see?
Well, there's certainly been progress. You know, the monthly indicator for what that's worth has suggested that inflation should stay within the RBA's 2 to 3% target band. The Westpac Melbourne Institute inflation gauge has also given an indication that in February, inflationary pressures were weak. But what the RBA really wants to see is that quarterly number. That's the full picture and the best picture from the ABS that the RBA can get. And it doesn't get that until April 30, so well after the April meeting that occurs on the 1st. So that information won't be available until its May meeting, and that really is what markets see as the next opportunity for the RBA to move.
But now there's a new RBA board because the board's been split into two. You've got the governance board and the new monetary policy board, which will focus only on interest rates. That next meeting is on at the end of the month. Does that change things at all?
I don't think the RBA going from one board setting to the next really moves the needle. It's only two members that come in. I think the RBA governor did allude to the fact that it was a unanimous decision or a consensus decision to ease rates in February, and I wouldn't expect that to change with two new board members coming on in the April meeting. What might be interesting is if we get any additional transparency from the RBA when the new board starts, and that would come in the form of unattributed votes, which would give the market a little bit of a sense of which way the RBA might be leaning when it makes these decisions. But as far as we know to date, you know, the RBA is pretty much on board with its path. And, you know, it wants to see that incoming data before it commits to any further easing. And I would say that the incoming board members would be aligned with that view.
So what are your forecasts? When are you expecting the RBA to cut then, if at all?
Yeah, I'd look for the RBA to cut in May. It will have the full picture on inflation. It will have done its forecast again in the statement on monetary policy. And what we're likely to see there is inflation that is within the target band. It also has the advantage, I guess, of knowing the election outcome after its meeting. So that will give it some sense of where perhaps government policy and public demand is going. So, you know, we're going to get a good idea from the RBA of, you know, its future plan for interest rate cuts. We think another one will come in May, and perhaps, you know, on a quarterly basis we get maybe one or two more interest rate cuts after that. But what's clear is the RBA is really not responding to any emergency in the economy. The unemployment rate is low and staying low. GDP growth isn't great, but it's not deteriorating rapidly. So the Reserve Bank only needs to remove some accommodation rather than cut interest rates sharply. And that's our view on rates for the remainder of the year.
What about retail sales up 0.3% in January? What's that saying about the way households are coping with the rising cost of living pressures?
Look, retail sales rebounded from what was a pretty weak December number. You know, there was that pull forward into November from the heavy discounting and sales through that period. January wasn't a bad read. When you look at a six-month annualized rate, it's still running at 4.7%, and that's pretty good. So even though people don't like cost of living pressures and they're putting a lot of undue stress on some households, the aggregate household sector is still spending at a reasonable rate. And again, that says to me that the Reserve Bank isn't in a rush to cut interest rates further.
And finally, US President Donald Trump really in the headlines today, warning that those tariffs, the 25% tariffs on US imports of Mexican and Canadian goods, that second lot of 10% tariffs on Chinese imports are going to go into effect in the next day. To what extent do you think this will impact the Australian economy? Because what we've seen in terms of global markets overnight, they've been really hit.
Oh, really, a day goes by these days when the US president isn't in the headlines. And tariffs are obviously, a space that economists are watching very, very closely. And, you know, we've been inundated with announcements. It's the 25% on Canada and China, aluminium and steel, and now agricultural exports are in the focus from the administration's tariff measures. Look, at the margin, that's impactful on the Australian economy. We'd like to think that because we have a free trade agreement, we'd be immune to these tariff measures, but apparently so far we're not. The direct impact to the Australian economy is likely to be small. It's really the confidence that it sort of saps that is really moving the markets and starting to move some of the soft economic indicators. We saw in the US overnight, the ISM numbers were a little bit weaker than expected, particularly in those new orders. So it's a forward-looking index of economic activity. So we're really starting to see the uncertainty bite. And when there's uncertainty, we see markets tend to sell off. And that's really what's happening at the moment, when we really haven't got a clear picture of when and if the tariffs will be implemented and just how they will impact. I guess the other thing for Australia is we worry about our largest trading partner. Obviously, China is in the crosshairs, I guess, from the US administration's trade policies. And any negative effect there that would unduly affect economic growth in China might reverberate down to Australia through commodity prices.
That's Alex Joyner there, Chief Economist at IFM Investors.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast. To the Australian share market now, which fell 0.6% on the S&P ASX 200 to 8,198. Shares on Wall Street did even worse though. The S&P 500 down 1.8% and the technology-based NASDAQ losing more than 2%. It comes as the US confirmed a 25% tariff on Mexican and Canadian goods, a second 10% increase in Chinese goods. The market initially saw Donald Trump as a positive for share markets. The market seeing a Trump rally after he won the election. So what's happened? For more on that, I spoke with James Whelan, the Managing Director of Barclays Pearce Capital.
James, the markets globally have been tumbling, particularly in the US, as our 25% tariff on US imports of Mexican and Canadian goods looks to go ahead tomorrow. There's a second 10% increase in Chinese goods set to be introduced as well. Wasn't Trump being seen as a positive for share markets? What's happened now?
Well, Trump 1.0 was definitely a finger on the pulse of what was going on in the Dow, using his Twitter account as much as he possibly could to talk up the market and to talk up his relevance to the market and how he thought that he was. That Trump 2.0 is definitely not that same man, not that same president. Speculation, and this is obviously the sort of speculation you can get, trying to get inside the head of someone like Donald Trump is very difficult to do, and you're often wrong. But the speculation is that if you can't cool a heating economy, as the US was, with interest rate rises, because they've risen about as much as you can, The next best way to do it is by pouring a very cold bucket of water on in the form of tariffs in this particular way. It does seem an intentional way to try and slow down an economy, and based on manufacturing data last night, does seem to be working. We're seeing this right across the board that potentially it is working in slowing this US economy. However, seeing now Trump 2.0 could be the guy who brings in what the dreaded S word, stagflation. And we're seeing that if there is inflationary pressures to the upside through tariffs, and it is definitely going to be, and we are seeing slowing growth, then we see that stagflation could be the theme of the day. And if that is the soup du jour, then expect the bitterness to come through over the next couple of weeks in markets.
Yes, so as an investor, are you worried about Trump's policies and the implication for investments? And I guess, have you had to change the way you invest?
There was something that came in 2016 and a policy that I introduced, which is we don't buy anything new on Friday. So if we're going into a position, we really don't want to have that weekend, Friday night, some sort of fight argument breaks out in the White House with regards to take last weekend that just happened. Trump and Zelensky with JD Vance in there as well, causing all sorts of dilemmas over the weekend. There's not much that you can do for a new position. Markets reacting to that pretty negatively over the weekend too. We try not to open up new positions going into weekends, definitely buying on the back foot as we're going through here, just waiting until some of the question marks over the market and over various economies, especially with regards to what's going on in Ukraine, have been resolved. So that's what we're looking, definitely on the back foot and definitely more cautious than we've been in the past.
Over the past few days, and in particular overnight, what we've seen is those tech stocks being hammered. And then we're also seeing that iron ore price, which is particularly important for Australia, falling below $100 for the first time since mid-January. Run us through why you think these two in particular are being hit.
A bit to unpack there. So let's take the tech stocks, for example. There's a couple of question marks over the top. First off, what happened with DeepSeek coming out a few weeks ago? Has put, again with the question marks, has put a question mark over whether the big tech has overextended itself with regards to the capital expenditure on how much data and how many semiconductors and how many chips and everything that they need to be able to make their artificial intelligence programs work and to make their things tick. That's one question mark. The next question mark is obviously then over the tariffs and over the use, the usage that's there. Inflationary pressures in the US to the upside means less spending on those AI structures. A contracting economy is bad for those tech stocks. So they are strong and they are durable, but they're not they're not immortal. So yes, they can be damaged there. With regards to iron ore price, now we're seeing that those tariffs on China, there will be a return volley from the Chinese as well. They do have their national congress coming up as in a day that will start. So we're seeing that steel production is predicted to be pulled back going into that congress, unpolluted skies as they like to have in China for these big events. But also, if there is tariffs going on in China, you see a reduction in the steel output. It's just a cause and effect situation there. And if that means a reduction in steel output, then that will mean a reduction in the usage of iron ore. Reducing iron ore is going to hit our iron ore stocks and going to hit our economy, obviously.
Okay, RBA minutes out today. It seemed to pour a bit of cold water on the prospect of another interest rate cut in the immediate future anyway, the next board meeting anyway. But what's the markets thinking?
Now, the markets are thinking that it was definitely a hawkish cut, which is what a lot of people were saying that it was going to be. Keep in mind, it was still not a guarantee to go into that cut last time. The minutes have come out and said that it was the line ball call. It did fall on the side of a cut, but only just. And the commitments are definitely not there to any further reductions. CBA note that came out today sees that April potentially not going to be, and the market seems to agree with this as well. Potentially May will be the next cut that comes in. Great for consumers, great for retail as well, and great for homeowners, which is fantastic. But definitely it looks like that the RBA is eye on the ball of making sure that inflation gets back into their target range, and they're going to have to do what it takes before that happens. So we might have to suffer a little bit longer before we see some relief there.
And where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Again, being cautious and being on the back foot, please make sure that you've got some gold in your portfolio. You've been warned enough times by the market enough on what's going on, inflationary pressures, and also we're just seeing more gold buying that's coming out of various sectors, various central banks as well. So it's a good way to hedge yourself and protect yourself from the downside. Make sure you've got a little bit of cash saved up on the sidelines too. Now, just looking at the US market, the first quarter after a presidential election is almost always flat. not usually overly bullish. So there's a great chance to try and pick up some of those stocks that you want to have, like potentially the tech stocks that have been beaten up a little bit, and buy them into the end of March and take them through until the end of the year. So there are opportunities available, but you've got to make sure that you cashed up before they come.
That's James Whelan there from Barclay Pearce Capital. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, give it a rating wherever you'd stream this podcast from, like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.